All right, let's get things started. So my name is David Liu, and this is the ROS Live meeting for February of 2016. OSRF had asked me to help organize and run these, and I gladly volunteered to try to get a little bit more of the ROS community together. And so there's no official agenda. We're just going to make this an informal conversation about robot description formats. Just a little background on where I come in on this. I had a project with Walt Disney Imagineering a couple of years ago. It was an internship where I was trying to make a model of one of their robots. And I tried to model it in URDF, but it turns out that there were very bad tutorials for how to actually make a URDF robot, how all the geometry worked. I ended up writing some tutorials for that and then gave a ROSCON talk on that back in 2012. So that's kind of where I come into this conversation, having spent more time than I'd like with URDF. Jackie, do you want to say a few words?
Yeah, sure. So this is Jackie. I sent out the email to ROS users that David didn't send about this. So we're sitting here at OSRF with a whole bunch of people who work on ROS and Gazebo. Tully, William, Hugo, Steve Peters, Nate, John, and Louise. So this is a lot of people who work with robot description formats a lot in our daily lives. We want to say we're not like focusing directly on making huge innovations in the subject right now, but we're really interested in hearing what you guys have to say about robot description formats, and we really want to help support any community-led efforts to improve things. You know, we hear a lot of feedback about URDF and SDF, and you know, we have some ideas of what directions you guys want to go in, but we're not pushing like a single direction ourselves, if that makes sense. Also, I have a bit of an interest in this because I'm now maintaining a lot of the robot model tools repositories. So the robot model repository and robot state publisher. And robot model contains URDF, Collada URDF. Steve, who's here, and I are maintaining URDF DOM, URDF DOM headers, and URDF parser PI, which is actually, as of like a few days ago, its own repository. So yeah, I'm very interested in hearing feedback, not just about the format, but about how we can improve the software tools used for parsing and representation.
Yeah, so URDF is sort of the de facto description format for ROS. It's been integrated some long time ago. I'm sure somebody else knows the history a little bit more, but it has always had its limitations. One of the key ones being that it can't describe parallel robots, i.e. each individual link only can have one parent, and that mirrors the structure that is created by TF libraries, but it does constrain what kind of robots you can model in URDF. And there are some hacks around that, including the mimic tag, but really it's not universal in what it can describe. And there are some tags that have been supported more than others over the past years of its development. Does somebody else want to talk about limitations that they've run up against with URDF?
Dave, I would just say, this is Mike from ClearPath. I mean, it seems to me that the XML format is not itself kind of fundamentally limited. It's more just the fact that the tools are all based on KDL. KDL is the origin of the limitation about parallel joints. And I mean, we run into this a little bit with outdoor robots where we're like, oh, you know, we have a fix that is from odometry, and we also have a fix for mapping, and we also have a fix from GPS. Like, there's no way to represent those without doing these weird, like, parent-child inversions and stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. I mean, like a lot of ROS, it grew out of what was needed at the time and what was available. So I'm guessing some people at Wheel Garage wanted to do some stuff in KDL, and everything sort of just morphed from that. But that's a good point.
No, that's okay.
I was gonna ask some of the Willow people here, ex-Willow people here, to talk about that, but John is declining to comment.
No, so little tiny bit about history. Yeah, you're totally accurate that it was needed basis for describing the PR2 robot at the time. Mm-hmm. We looked at several formats and tried to find one that's as simple as possible, humanly parsable, and something that won't add extra layer for someone maintaining a robot model. And apparently it's been widely adopted, and it's been fairly stable for the past few years, intentionally or not. And So the fact that it remains a tree, I mean, over the years we talked many times about extending it, adding things such as sensors or parallel mechanisms. I think there are many difficulties and issues associated with that. And so that's why this discussion is good. I think it just needs a good push to get progress in that direction.
Yeah, so I guess Mike brought up the issue of KDL. He said KDL is kind of a limitation. Is there an action item there to like move away from KDL or to try to improve KDL or modularize the tools so that you can swap KDL out with something else?
I would sort of disagree with that. It's a limitation of KDL. There's a lot of applications where having closed chains just makes the calculations fundamentally harder. Like, you pretty much have to solve a constraint resolution problem. So, like, anything that uses generalized coordinates would rather work with a tree if possible. So, even if we go to a format where we can represent closed chains, we also need the ability to tag something as a tree if it is one, because some software will simply not work on closed chains.
Right. Engineers, like, hate annotation, right? But it is, at some point, it's kind of necessary for like optimization to annotate if you have a tree or a graph or like a closed loop.
And that seems totally reasonable to me. Like it seems that the URDF format could represent these things. And then it's like, you know, you say, oh, okay, this section I want to feed into KDL and make this calculation, but this other section I want to deal with in this way or that way. Like if you just loosen the coupling, then I don't know, at least partly resolves the problem. Like you say, oh, for this one 4-bar linkage, we need to handle it using this plugin or whatever. And
this Tully, the reason we stuck with the tree is because, like, if you have an over-constrained system, which you can do with a loop, if you have 4 links, 4 bars, 4 angles, if they don't add up to the right number, like, you have an unrepresentable description when you get to the point that you actually want to resolve it and compute inverse kinematics. And if you get to the point that your joints disagree, you now have a problem that you cannot resolve. And that's why KDL just says, I do trees. That's why TF does it as well. Solving the unconstrained problem requires more information about the system than the model gives you.
This is John Binney. I agree with that, and I think that that is a really good way to do it, right? Keep it simple, keep it with an obvious, correct solution. One thought that I've talked about with other people is having the model be able to represent loops, but having the person specify a spanning tree of some kind. And for people who have a model which is truly a tree, that just means specifying the root. But for people who have more complicated models with loops, they're able to specify a spanning tree, perhaps even specify multiple spanning trees for different situations.
I think that would be a reasonable approach to allow most of the tools that require trees to use the tree and then still continue to have the representation as a full graph.
This is Ian from Rethink. Doesn't KDL just specify chains rather than trees? It doesn't really deal with trees, as far as I know.
I believe a tree is a collection of chains in KDL, right?
Chains are extracted from a tree, right? You can't have like a branch sort of idea in a chain. It needs to be directly from, you know, base to tip or whatever you have in between.
Yeah, a chain is like a linear link, linked chain of links.
And so for TF and for creating these chains, some mechanism to be able to specify that this is the chain that I want and this is the parent that I want to follow, that seems like a useful feature. And I know that some other of the description formats out there have tried to specify with some external formats, you know, this is a chain. Like, for example, the stuff that MoveIt uses, which I'm not as familiar with, you know, you can specify particular chains in there that you want to study.
This is Rob. One of the problems we ran into recently was, while KDL lets you specify trees and extract and get chains from those trees, all its solvers aren't set up for trees. So if I want to find the gravity of all branches at the end of my arm, robot arm, it's difficult, to say the least.
So my question is that a limitation of KDL, or those algorithms are harder to write? Is it just the library is limited, and can we like create or find a better library?
I think it's current limitation of KDL, but that's not to say KDL couldn't be improved to handle trees. Rob actually wrote a workaround to kind of collapse trees into chains for the purposes of defining gravity vectors.
So, John here, I like the idea of the spanning tree.
That other John brought up.
That yeah. Other John H. So, first of all, I guess, if there are any alternatives be a good time to propose here. Second thing is, I guess moving forward, if we do choose that as an extension, then the proper step is to come up with a gazebo design, with a design doc, right? Eventually that'll turn into a pull request in one of the repositories.
Are you suggesting we write a rep?
Oh, right. Yeah.
To bring other parts of the conversation in for a minute, URDF is but one format, and one of the other highly touted ones is SDF, which is most native in Gazebo, and we have the author of SDF right here in the studio with us.
Nate is looking around the room right now.
SDF exists.
Do you want to talk about cool features in SDF that people might not know about?
Well, in general, SDF exists to support simulation in the sense that we need to simulate and represent an entire environment, not just a robot. So if you look at any SDF model, it looks very similar to URDF, but with a lot of extra stuff, where the stuff can include things like lighting, surface properties, skies, and things of that nature. That's essentially what SDF is. We've based it a lot on ODE, so our choice of reference frames comes out of simulation, not KDL, which drove some of our original decisions. It's neither better nor worse, just a different alternative.
Yeah, I think a lot of people comment that the spec seems like it's very similar, but the URDF spec is a little more like a subset of the SDF spec with some random differences, and the tools surrounding it are extremely different.
I was just going to say, my understanding of SDF is it might better support multiple robots, I guess, in an environment. Whereas I think one of the historic things with URDF is it was designed for a single robot, single bring up type of environment. If you need to change something, it's easy enough to bring the PR2 down and bring it up again. I think SDF allows for multiple robots.
In SDF, you can represent everything from an individual sensor to an individual model to a whole collection of models and or sensors all existing in a world. It's pretty flexible in that nature.
Going back slightly to the data structure discussion, SD format supports graphs, partially based on the history of being based on ODE, and URDF does trees, and so we've kind of seen, some people prefer to use, the URDF when they want to use it with ROS and motion planning and such. But then there's discussion of how there's another simpler data structure, which is the chain. So it sounds like, SDF could be used if there was an additional functionality of kind of down specifying, like, here I have this SDF, but give me a spanning tree, or given this spanning tree, give me, a chain that goes to this other link.
Yeah, SDF definitely has some of the features that URDF, I wish it had. This is John Binney again. One thing that I've been thinking about, which I'd like to hear people's thoughts on, is different tools are going to support different things, right? TF is really just going to do kinematics, and that's simple, whereas some people might want to represent very complex things about how joints work and dynamics and things like that and simulation parameters and sensor properties. So personally, one thing I'd love to see is different core specs. So every robot has kinematics, but on top of that, you might also have spanning trees. You might also have simulation parameters, just on and on and on. One problem is if tools only support some of these, then the robot description is going to work differently in every tool. And it would be nice to really express in a document what the different subcategories are of, types of elements. And then each tool can represent, can say whether they support it or not.
This is something that was brought up in the ROS 2.0 discussion that happened on the Next Generation ROS SIG group, and similar to an idea I had even back when I was making the tutorials, is that it would be nice if we had different levels of compliance. If you want to specify the TF frames for a particular robot, all you need is basic geometry and joint information, and that could be level 0 or whatever of URDF. But if you want to visualize it in ARVIS, say, then you would also need polygons attached to each of those frames. And, that's an additional level of compliance. If you want to simulate it, you also need inertia, etc. And so I think that just based on the number of different applications that URDFs are used for, be it solving kinematic chains or just visualization or simulation, what have you, really we need to bake that into the spec a little bit more.
So that brings up a really interesting point, a composable URDF. And I think there's definitely some merit there because you get some minimalistic robots that would only need a few pieces, and then you get something like PR2 or Baxter or whatever, and then they would have the whole stack of layers going all the way up to like sensors and maybe some additional visualization stuff. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, we've certainly put some thought into this historically, obviously being the supplier of Husky, where every single one has a bunch of stuff attached to it. And I think historically what we've done is just generated either at launch time or at configuration time, like a one-off URDF that represents the state of the robot. Certainly for our purposes, the only consumers are robot state publisher, which reads the parameter, and the robot plugin for Arviz, which reads the parameter. But I think there's a lot of scope there to expand that so that the parameter can reference other parameters or has some kind of way that it can be mutated at runtime. Because really, if there aren't that many things consuming it, then you can have some kind of like an update topic. You know, it's almost like dynamic reconfigure where it's like, oh, hey, swap this part in or out or whatever. So I don't know what that would look like, but that's what we're interested in, certainly.
So perhaps it also would make sense to distinguish between the format, the description, and the implementation that reads it. So, of course, if KDL is limited to trees and SDF's backend, which usually is Gazebo, can deal also with parallel chains and multiple routes in your description, that's kind of independent from the discussion of the format. So perhaps what would be a good idea is a format which is very expressive, which can deal with parallel linkages, and there are very simple, straightforward algorithms that can detect whether you are a tree, whether you are a chain, whether you have parallel structures in your graph. So then your tool could just ask, is this a tree? And otherwise just throw an arrow, oh, sorry, I can only deal with trees, as a way also to move forward.
I think it's important that the user can specify what that tree is. For example, if you're running a dynamic simulation, typically you want to break that closed chain in a very particular spot because you're going to be enforcing that joint in a very different way than all the other joints in that chain. So it's fine if there's a default, but it's important that a user can specify explicitly where that break happens.
John here. So these are all very good points, and they're all topics that we've talked about over and over again. One of the main thing I really like to go back on is what is going to be the approach here? Because we have SDF, we have URDF, other formats. We could work on extending one of them. We can work on extending multiple, or, you know, ideally we want to have one central format that supports all the features in very clean ways. So take URDF and SDF, for example. You could extend URDF, or you can extend SDF to support trees. It would be good to get committee input. What is a direction that people prefer?
It sounds like a very an expressive spec that can be, you can, in the tool, you can select the subset of the spec which you acknowledge, which you're going to parse or deal with. And then well-defined tools that work with that constraint is what they're asking for.
So this is John Binney responding to John Sue. I think that's a great point. Personally, I think that this is a good time for a new format. I think that extending SDF or URDF is going to result in some of the same problems where you get some of that cruft and the things aren't quite right, and people coming from one to the other are going to be slightly unhappy. I'm certainly open to hearing other people's thoughts on that. And I would love for the core format to be simple, and then to have the Gazebo part of it that's an extension that has all the simulation parameters, and have maybe a planning part of it that's an extension.
I'm sort of naive about SDF here. Is it possible to define like custom tags in SDF that say only one tool uses, like Gazebo or KDL?
This is Nate. You're talking about just arbitrarily extending SDF by putting your own tags within it?
Yeah, I'm asking like if the SDF client library that does the parsing supports that or not.
Yeah, to a certain extent, as long as you don't use any of our keywords, the parser that we provide will just ignore anything that is not part of the spec. So, I mean, technically you can put in whatever garbage you want. You'll have to parse it yourself then. I'm not suggesting that's a good idea, because the end result of that is somebody can go along and make their own custom spec that no one else agrees to or abides by, and that doesn't really get us anywhere.
I agree, but there needs to be some path forward from SDF not having a feature to getting it integrated in the actual standard. And if doing that requires reparsing the entire SDF file with tiny XML. That's a pretty high barrier to cross.
So our process of getting new features into SDF is fairly straightforward. It's pretty easy to extend the specification. And we've built tools around it such that an older version gets forward converted to the newer version. If, for example, you need to change a tag or move it around or something like that.
So just a kind of an observation, the problem that I see is the people disagree about the level of abstraction needed in the spec. Some people only think that links and joints are necessary for what they want to do. Some people want sensors, they want to specify a laser scanner, they want to specify, you know, all the colors, different materials. And I guess in order to suit everyone's needs, that's why some people advocate for kind of flexibility in the spec. So people who were at RossCon or watched the video or maybe through another channel may know about Smurf, which is something we were talking about a few days ago here. Basically, Smurf is yet another robot description format, and it provides a way of specifying like temporary tags or custom tags in a kind of elegant way. But the argument against that, which I think we already brought up, is that your custom tags or elements can diverge greatly from the mainline spec, which you eventually end up with your own format that no one else recognizes in some cases, right? But that's the worst case.
So this is William from OSRF. I actually believe the module, the composability is actually a good thing, and I think the right path for that would be, I mean, it would start, as Nate pointed out, with people making up whatever tags they needed at any time they needed them, which is obviously not great because people won't cooperate, but we're also able in ROS to come up with message definitions we can use together, and I think we can do the same thing for extra formats in the long term. And I do agree, actually, that we need flexibility to extend. Otherwise, people look at the process for adding a tag, and if it involves them having to parse the thing themselves or get a pull request merge to do it, they're probably just going to go with something else. And I think that encourages fragmentation.
I like the analogy to the message generation. It's not like exactly...
People make common messages, but we do have common messages. And right. That relationship of flexibility, but also standards where they make sense, is perfectly achievable, and I think it's good.
I think what that suggests is that we need to make sure that whatever tools we have need to support extensibility in a way that we can have a community process for standardizing those extensions. Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a bit of work that we need to do as a community to sort of gather what all the requirements are. I know that Paul at Southwest Research Institute has been looking at stuff from the ROS industrial side and sent me a document about what URDF has these days and, you know, what SDF has and what Collada has.
So, yeah, we put together a spreadsheet that kind of covered some of the features for future URDF or URDF2, and then compared how well it'd be supported if it was done by extending URDF versus moving to SDF versus maybe adopting Collada. So, you know, maybe this was just kind of pragmatic in trying to move to an existing standard. But, yeah, I think to jump to a conclusion, feeling was that maybe SDF was a convenient way to go, that it's a kind of well-documented standard, and that it provides for a convenient link between Gazebo and ROS, which we hope to use in a more effective basis.
So this is Gijs van Hoorn from TU Delft. I'm also with ROS Industrial, working with Paul Vaas on this exact subject, actually. I just wanted to add that I was wondering why we would like to create yet another format and not reuse something that already exists and is already standardized and recognized in the rest of the 3D modeling world as well. With a lot of tool support, that's the reason why we were looking at Collada, really. But FBX would also be an option, for instance. And the only real difficulty or inconvenience with Collada that I could come up with, at least from looking at the standard document, is the verbosity of the format. It's also XML, but I wouldn't call it human readable. And in addition, obviously, there is this whole issue with the current state of the loader format or the loader libraries that exist and the way they support certain tags or they don't. Now, I posted that to the mailing list, and that was a big issue for some people. because there's a lot of ambiguity about how to deal with custom tags. Collada does that also natively, and from the discussion I just heard, I would say that the fact that something is easily extendable, which might mean that you end up with your own local dialect, is not such a big issue anymore. So I'm wondering whether we would actually want to go in the direction of a custom format, or whether it would make sense to use something which is standardized but still allows, explicitly still allows, a great deal of extensibility.
That is a good point. The problem I always have with new formats is just always how well they are, how easy it is to change them, and how well documented they are. I didn't like URDF until I sat down and poured through every bit of the spec and experimented in ARVIS to figure out how things went together. From there, it was relatively simple, but I don't know the Collada format. Or it's definitely not documented as far as ROS usage has been concerned that I've seen.
In terms of extensibility, strictly speaking with just the SDF side, we've done something similar to what I believe everyone's talking about, and that's how we express plugins in SDF, where we have a special tag that we just basically copy anything that's underneath that and pass it along as a pass-through. So that's probably one approach that could be taken. When we're talking about extending an XML, you have a special tag and the parser that comes with the format just ignores whatever is underneath it and passes it along as a chunk to whoever wants to consume it. And then that would provide a way forward for people to try stuff out and potentially make new additions to the specification based on these extensions.
One other thing that I did want to make sure that we talked about, I know it, we will need to talk more about the file format, and that is going to be key to a lot of this, but I did also want to touch on some of the changes that are currently in the works for URDF and the things that are currently supported, because it's not likely that we'll get a consensus on this new file format in releases that are coming soon. Jackie and Ian, do you want to talk about the stuff that is coming up for Robot State Publisher?
Yeah, a bunch of people for a while have been talking about changing the robot description parameter without having to restart every single node that uses it. Most nodes basically initialize, load the robot description parameter, and go. And there are a couple cases, people often have workarounds where the robot description parameter changes, they have to wait for all the nodes to stop and start again.
Just to jump in for one second, a couple of the standard use cases for this are if you have a dynamic robot, say Baxter, where you can take the hands on and off and replace them with something else in runtime, I believe, or also just if you are grabbing something and you want that to be an extension of your kinematic chain. I think that's some of the main use cases, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And if you were to swap out any other parts at runtime, for instance, with Baxter, we have some mobile platforms that we've written little chunks of URDF for, so that at runtime, you wouldn't be swapping bases, but you could have a different base with the robot while not needing to restart the robot state publisher. That was kind of the impetus pushing us in this direction.
Yeah, so we talked about this a bit at ROSCON. There was a pull request to Robot State Publisher by Nicolas from Magazino, I think. And I kind of thought about it a bit and then proposed my own implementation instead of accepting his new feature. And I'd like to hear feedback from people comparing the different approaches, if people are concerned about this or think that it shouldn't be done at all. There was some feedback from Johan, former maintainer of Robot Model, who pushed back against it because of the many technical problems that it would create. So my approach was basically, okay, so ideally robot description would be like a latched topic, but unfortunately that wasn't the decision that was made at the time when it was introduced. And
latched topics didn't exist at the time it was introduced.
Exactly, yeah. And changing that now would be a huge change for a lot of downstream code. Basically everyone that loads robot description would have to change how they load it. So my implementation, inspired by Nicolas's implementation, where he had a service that basically you make a service call whenever you change the robot description and republish the parameter, then Robot State Publisher basically reloads itself, changes the state based on that. So I took that kind of a level deeper and instead made the service in the URDF library. So the URDF model representation basically listens for that service call and reloads the representation of the URDF model. So anyone that has a URDF model Any node that has a URIAC model representation will then get the new parameter. This has a number of implementation problems due to race conditions. If it were implemented, it would require people to, if they have heavily multi-threaded code, it would require people to kind of rethink kind of concurrency in their program. And so one suggestion that John had about this was to add a timestamp to the URDF model, basically the last time it was modified, in order to help compare the previous state of the model.
I was thinking about timestamping because typically you have a fixed model and you, in simulation at least, you alter the states, and when you log the states, you timestamp all the states. Similarly with sensor data or what else is coming out of the robot that changes over time. And if model is also changing over time, then what seems the appropriate thing to do is to timestamp it.
I like the idea of having the model change at runtime for things like swappable end effectors, but I very much think that no ROS communication level functionality should be in the core robot model API. It seems like that should be completely agnostic to the middleware layer.
URDF, the library that I'm talking about, already, it's basically the ROS communication specific bridge between the user and URDF DOM, which is the parser. So URDF DOM, the spec parser, is completely non-ROS enabled. It's a Debian package, it's not in the ROS ecosystem, and it has no ROS specific communication code. URDF, which is a package in robot model, is basically a wrapper around URDF DOM that has kind of helper functions for initializing a new URDF model from a ROS parameter.
Thanks. I didn't realize the difference between URDF and URDF DOM. That makes sense.
This is Tully. I'd also like to point out one other use case, which is we have not been able to address well, but is when we start thinking about multi-robot, dynamic number of robots, etc. And we've been talking about having like whole worlds modeled and being able to do interaction between robots. That this is another use case where for which the dynamic descriptions will become important.
It's also relevant to think about namespacing there. If you look at ROS Industrial, the models that are there for the UR manipulators are actually quite nice because they're all implemented as Zacro macros with like prefixing. So we've used those for integrating manipulators onto Husky and Grizzly, but it ends up being a pain in the butt because you have those names called out in like ROS control configurations and like they kind of bleed all over the place. So some kind of better story for namespacing is definitely of interest.
Yeah, I mean, we're not kind of topic wandering a little, but speaking of Zacro, do people have specific feedback about Zacro since it's kind of related to this robot tool subject?
It sucks, but everything else is worse.
I think the most recent implementation that was added to Jade and then backported into Indigo, the in-order processing, allows you to do a lot of really cool stuff with, I believe, Python expression evaluation. So it gets a lot more powerful. I was able to construct a Baxter's end effector gripper kit using Zacros of various different parts and then putting them together at launch time.
Is that not better, though, than, like, it seems like there's a bajillion ways to generate XML, including a number of them that allow Turing complete operations to go on.
Fair enough. I'm not aware of the other ones.
Like, I'm just thinking even Jinja 2 is, you know, or, like, various ways that markup is generated in front-end code.
This is Steve Peters. I really like the flexibility of Zacro, but the problem is, you know, there's the feature creep because you always want to add a little bit more. Like, oh, I wish I had trig functions, or eventually it's, you know, wanting Turing complete type of stuff. And I've been experimenting a bit with using templating. I've used mostly embedded Ruby, but you can also do it with embedded MPy, embedded Python. And that way you can program in an actual Turing complete language that someone else has written. That's another option to consider.
I think part of it too, though, is like once it's mutable at runtime, then a lot of this goes by the wayside because you no longer have to have this thing that runs once and gets into the correct state, because you can have, you know, a variety of description manager nodes that sit there and, you know, have whatever API for accepting runtime mutations, you know, and whether that's like swapping XML or doing this or that, like it matters a lot less because you can do it different ways.
I just like to second that. It kind of sucks that you have to generate a combinatorial number of URDF models if you have multiple end effectors.
Yeah, anyone who participated in the DRC may have experienced that specifically.
We do a lot of it these days with environment variables. That's how Turtlebot configures, and we found that it's nice because, like with Jackal, for instance, there's like a number of different lasers and stuff that are supported, and so you flip on one global environment variable, and then that mutates the URDF at runtime, it mutates the launch files. It obviously gives diehard Unix people kind of twitches, but it is at least somewhat convenient.
I mean, that's really great at runtime, but if you need to do anything offline or if you're trying to replicate state or things like that, then, I mean, you often don't have the flexibility to generate that stuff on the fly, and then you're stuck having to generate full URDFs to store them for every combination that you ever permute through.
Totally agree.
I also agree that the main problem is that Xacro is not directly read by the tools, but there's that intermediate step of generating, like, the serialized version where all the includes get folded out and such things. So if Xacro would be directly readable by the tools, it would make a huge difference.
Hi, this is William again from OSRF. So I sympathize with that, but I think there can be a good analogy drawn here, and an appropriate one, I think, with the web world. And, you know, we've already heard that there's a lot of different ways to expand the format, some more strict than others, some more integrated with ROS than others, whatever. But at the end, you have this static XML format, which is nominally a standard. And I think that in the web world, it's very similar. You have HTML, and the browsers can all render that. And then you get to pick whatever tool you want in order to generate that. And so I think if we try to start pushing the ability for the ERTIC parser to deal with more complicated syntax, it's just going to lock us into one way of expanding the information. And so we just have to be careful about that if we're going in that direction.
I agree totally. Actually, one thing I'd like to point out is that one of the major ways that the web is handling this is by having a huge diversity of resource mechanisms to actually load in other assets from the base XML. And I mean, SDF has a nice include mechanism there. One of the things with URDFs is really structurally, there's no way to pull XML in from other places other than to use Xacro to generate it at runtime. And I think that may be a major limitation that ends up pushing a lot of this stuff to runtime generation.
Fully agree.
It's hard to fix that, though, without having a huge dependence on ROS-specific stuff. Like, that's part of the idea is that URDF is ROS-agnostic and Xacro isn't. So Xacro is how you bring things in from other packages or whatever.
Right. There's already mechanisms, though, for doing package URI resolution of things like meshes and so forth. So I'm guessing saying that if we do go to some variant of the format, it makes sense to have first-class support for importing chunks of resource code from other places.
I mean, theoretically, you could, rather than using Xacro, you could use MPy, the Python templating, and then you could include information from other, well, Python packages arbitrarily through MPy. There are ways of implementing kind of an XML scripting system by bringing in arbitrary packages, not just ROS packages. Xacro just happens to be ROS-specific.
I do want to call out one other thing, which is that we are all, many of us by nature of being on this call, are well-versed in ROS. And there was the ROS survey that Sebastian from ProBotter did at the end of last year, and he showed me the results. And one of the things that I saw a surprising number of times was that people did not like writing XML in order to make their robot description. And I think tool support is going to be key here, not only for the tools that are actually used live, but also for building and checking them. So, you know, I was happy to see the SDF had the live GUI version to build robots. And then also there was the check URDF tool back in the day that still works, but it needs the, you know, ability to check for these different levels of compatibility as well.
I think that's a good point, David, with the tool support. So let me contradict myself real quickly. Basically, the downside to what I said before by keeping the more sophisticated logic out of ERTIF and keeping it simple and having a separate generation step is that when you're building a robot with a graphical editor, for example, if the tools don't understand that expansion format, you can't use it in that description, in that design tool, right? And so that probably limits the usefulness of that tool at some point because you can't represent swappable parts or more complicated configurable robots with that tool easily. So we have to make a trade-off there of whether or not we want to make first class some of these expansion tools so that a graphical tool like that could represent them, or if we want to just limit that tool to modeling pieces, and that the ultimate integration step still has to be done by a developer.
But I think for many people, it really boils down to what do the standard core tools like Arvis and the robot model plugin and robot state support out of the box. Of course, you can work around everything, but that is what most people look at, because once you start patching robot model, you know you did something wrong along the way.
One thing I'd like to point out is if we're doing tree-level manipulation, it is possible that you can move around DOM elements with tree structures that you don't fully understand and manipulate the parts you do understand. And for putting together dynamic gripper robot combinations, you could fully do that without completely understanding all the tags under that part of the tree and get useful output out of that in a lot of cases.
So that would only be a composition tool, not an actual editor.
That's correct, but it could be part of an editing tool that would be editing some subset of functionality. For example, editing physical properties of the robot while leaving controller properties or something else that it doesn't understand alone and just moving them around.
Xacro kind of already does this. Like, I've used Xacro both for constructing the URDF, but I also use it for putting together the move group and collision link collision checking for move it. So it's kind of agnostic so long as it's some sort of XML.
Yeah, that's true. With regard to Xacro, one thing to think about is if you look at other formats such as Collada or the OpenRave Kinbody format, which is probably none of you guys use at this point, it includes basically first-class include support for linking from one XML. So, for example, you have one XML which is representing a robot, and it'll just include another XML file which directly represents some linkage in that robot or something else. So you don't have to actually construct a full XML thing at runtime that's parsed. I think that's fairly useful in these modular cases, so you don't have to necessarily run a build tool in order to compose multiple files together.
I would just introduce another analog here, and that is like the way the C and C++ spec makes provision for linking without tying it to specific details of the file system. And I think that might be a way to kind of see how URDF could have a concept of extension without being tied to raw specific like implementation details. So rather than a single latch topic, it's like robot description becomes a namespace and there's like multiple latch topics in there. And so you can kind of say, you know, hey, I'm referencing this other node or this other link from this other file or this other location, and how that comes about is sort of a ROS level thing.
So that's really interesting. We have a mutable robot state publisher that we implemented internally and then open sourced. It's essentially a fork of robot state publisher, and that allows for fragments to get added to the URDF by publishing to a robot URDF topic. And so what's interesting about what you said there, Mike, is if we were to have these as params, we could just keep populating the param server with new fragments, maybe a timestamp associated with them, to know that what the current state of the robot is. You can kind of aggregate all of those params together.
This is William again. So I think that's a good point, sort of in rapid fire there, but I think it's pretty clear that an include seems to be appropriate here. Breaking away from my analogy in HTML, where that's not so much of a thing. I guess they have like iframes and stuff, which might be the closest analogy, but perhaps there's room for there to be an include, so you don't have to use Xacro to compose files. But I think that where a tool like Xacro still needs to exist, and we still have to draw that line, is when you have conditional logic. Like if you have a model and it says, if this thing is true based on some arbitrary expression, use this gripper. Otherwise, use this other gripper. That is the part that I don't think we should try to push into the larger format and should remain in expansion tools. And the trade-off there is that the editing tools can't handle that logic or represent it.
I think that absolutely makes a lot of sense. And you can use that in conjunction, right? You can always have that logic, which then wraps a much smaller tag, which is, you know, if that gripper is set, then include this gripper file, you know, which could be a package URI or a param snippet or something like that. And that both, you know, lets you have that logic and also lets you not have a gigantic chunk of embedded gripper right in the middle of your file just because you needed it right then.
Or even simpler, you just call out as part of a link, you know, like this link is an extension point, and then it's up to some external definition to link the extension point to another piece, you know, potentially with some optional namespacing logic or whatever in there.
In terms of extension points, I think really we'd want them everywhere on the robot. Now, I think in the typical case, you want to maybe set an endpoint and have an extension there, but say you're adding a camera or you're adding maybe a new touch sensor or something like that, that could get added anywhere that you'd be interested in reading values from.
So the other thing is that with the include tag, so let me contradict get myself again. The problem with the include tag in ROS is that we would naturally want to use a package :: sort of URL scheme, and that makes the ERTFs defined using that include tag really non-portable out of ROS to use in other tools. So that's something we have to be mindful of. I don't know what the right way to resolve that is, but if I had to guess, that's why we're in the situation we're in, where includes are done through an external tool.
So we already tackled this a little bit in some of our software, and we found that essentially allowing the user of the parsing library to register an arbitrary URI resolver really solves this elegantly. So this is sort of based off of the rote resource retriever package that Arviz uses, but think of a bit more souped up version of that. URIs are very, very flexible. You can have like a data URI if you want an embedded mesh, for example. You have a package URI, and the thing that actually resolves that URI to a binary blob has to depend on ROS. But if you're not using that specific method of retrieving URIs, you never touch the ROS dependency at all. And we found this to be a nice middle ground.
That's exactly how SDF ties into Gazebo. We have a function that Gazebo overrides that resolves URIs.
I agree with that, and I think that that's the right solution to breaking a dependency of ERTF on ROS-specific stuff. That's a great solution to that. I guess my point was actually more at the level of if the de facto way you write your ERTF is to use package relative things because you use ROS on all your robot, but then you want to go and use that same description with another tool that doesn't use ROS, then you bring the ROS dependency with you by using that feature. And I don't think there's a way around that. It's just something to be aware of.
So even if we had that in the include, or didn't have that in the include directive, it's still all over the place in all of the mesh resolution and everything else that goes on, because those all often use package URIs. And I think really, at the end of the day, the URI itself, like supporting a URI, is a very general way to be retrieving these resources. And if we're in a situation where we want to not use package URIs because we think we need this portability, that's reasonable. I mean, there's also mechanisms for rewriting package URIs. You can do a pass over a ROS workspace and rewrite package URIs to file URIs if you're fixed within that workspace. But I really don't think dropping the URI part is solving the issue, rather than just coming up with good semantics for when you want to or don't want to use package URIs in particular.
This may be the wrong crowd to ask, but is there a non-ROS technology actually using URDF?
Actually, there's a simulator called Drake, which has forked it. Is just one example. But back to the point, I think that's very reasonable. And like you said, so the current advantage of ERTF is that once you go through the expansion, the resulting file doesn't have any ROS-specific references. But as you pointed out, you can use the URL, and if you want to make it portable, you make a runover, you resolve those URLs, and you make them relative instead of package-based. And then you have a relocatable ROS-agnostic version of the thing. So it's, you know, you have to bake it still, but there's a path forward there.
I'd like to just clarify two things. First, we use two other packages that use URDF and don't depend on ROS: OpenRaven, Dart, the physics simulator. And second, you sort of have this problem, like Pras said, even if we don't add the include tag, because meshes are referenced by URI. So it's something we have to solve either way.
This is a bit of a left turn, but I think speaking as a user or as a developer who's created robots for use by other people, it would be really, really, really sweet if meshes could be served over the ROS network, so that a bespoke robot could roll into a lab and someone could run Arviz from a desktop full install and actually see meshes and not have to install packages on their computer first.
Yeah, I completely agree. That would be an awesome feature. I think it just needs that one more layer of support, where the tools who use ERTF and they see a package resource, if they can't locate it locally, then they know to ask some server.
This is John. I think Gazebo has something almost exactly like that. Does Nate want to say something?
Yeah, we built something like that for the DRC. It was kind of our first pass was a hack together solution where we put all our models on a repository, and if Gazebo doesn't have the necessary resources, it will go to this repository, fetch what it needs, and continue on. We're moving that implementation away from a Bitbucket repository and onto a standalone web application that will have a better public API to be able to distribute these models in different locations around the globe and so forth. Basically, make it a proper first-class citizen of the web service.
CDN.
CDN for models, yeah.
We're also doing something like this. We often want to visualize environments as markers in Arviz, and we get around this multi-computer issue by actually spinning up a little HTTP server in the process publishing the markers, and we reference all of them by URI to ourselves, essentially. And this has actually been working great in the current version of Arviz, so I think it's something you could already have with a little bit of legwork.
I'll just add on that I've also experienced this same sort of problem working with Rossbridge web application type things.
Their robot web tools does the same thing with their CDN and letting you specify it. Whatever is the loader of the URDF can also take a package path to resolve. I also want to take Mike's left turn and follow that a little bit. I think it's a very important point that we have not only developers using ROS and these robots that with the URDFs, but we have developers making robots for customers and other users to use. And especially when we want to use ROS to launch all of our robot software, that means this stuff isn't coming down and back up again every time they modify it, which means it's not just about the build time stuff and expanding it then. Although I think William had a great point about conditionals and logic and some includes you kind of need to do at expansion time, at build time. But you might not know every component or fragment of the URDF that you want to add on when a customer says, oh, here's my gripper that I want to use, and this is I'm going to specify it. That's not going to be able to be in your original expansion at build time. That's something you definitely want those commercial tools or those app editor tools to be able to understand and let users edit their URDF fragments. And you want to be able to add on and not have to have an include or a mount point previously specified with some, you know, a priori knowledge.
It's a gigantic hack, but what we do in Jackal and Ridgeback is at the bottom of the main URDF, there's like this dummy include that's like include Jackal URDF extras, I think. And it's basically an environment variable that defaults to like a stub. And the user has the option in their environment, which we put in etc ross setup.bash. So they have an option to point that environment variable at some arbitrary file. So our integration team will use that to make a file that has additional links and joints that hitch on extra stuff. So it's far from a super clean solution, but it does provide something of what would be nice to do better someday.
As we're a little bit over the hour mark now, as we wrap up, we should figure out what the next step is. I'm not sure if there's a robot description format, Google group, or rep that we should point to, but definitely after the meeting, Jackie and I will get one set up, if it's not already, to continue these conversations and sort of start fleshing out the actual details and see who we can get to actually implement some of those details. Does anybody else have any closing remarks?
Thanks for hosting.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for coming. It's cool to see that there's a lot of interest and feedback and momentum. And as David said, I think we want to capture this and create action items and work with you guys to make stuff happen. So thanks a lot.
And with that, we'll wrap up the call. Watch ROS users for the next invite for another ROS Live meeting, which will probably be either next month or the one after that. So thank you everyone for participating. It's been good talking to you, and have a good day.
Cheerio.